Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Damn Podcast, Shawnee J and I take a look at the Lions wide receiver group. Then we play another rousing round of Hell Yeah or Hell Nah. And we take a look at the Lions offensive guard to see who will be the starting two. All this and more coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Damn Podcast. Watch out. Here comes that roar. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Damn Podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
Good morning, good people. It's a little chilly here in Michigan for this time of year.
Hey, it's good to be back. Well, first thing I want to do is I want to thank the guys that came on our last show, Jeremy Reisman of Pride of Detroit, Michael Jones of OMG is Lions Talk, and last but certainly not least, Eric Slitt of LionsWire.com and USA Today. So we appreciate them coming on for that much needed conversation. But hey, as we always do at this time, it is time to tell me something good. And first things first, my man Shawnee J, the Lions have actually opened Allen Park to limited personnel. That's a good sign that football may be upon us.
Yes, it is. I hope everything goes well. But, you know, I don't be a put a damper around the parade. Mm-hmm. I read something that in college football, several Alabama and University of Houston players tested positive for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Does that bother you that, you know, will the season be canceled? What's going on?
I think that the NFL is a little different in college. You think about the amount of people that's around college football. You think of how big their teams are. You know, they carry over 100 players. And then you have the student body where the NFL can be more controlled. You know, think about they can lock them down, individuals down to their facilities, and then they can get people, you know, in quarantine faster and get them back, you know, faster than a college can. Or college, you have, you know, a campus where you have, you know, extra students there. So football, you know, you can limit the personnel. The NFL, you can limit the personnel that's there at your facilities. So that doesn't bother me at all. All right. So, and then next up, one thing where a lot of fans were kind of trolling him, but Kerryon Johnson's comments about working with DeAndre Swift, you know, that's a big deal. You know, the veteran, he hasn't been in the league that long, but he welcomes and he was actually excited to see the Lions draft Swift. He watched him play while he was at Auburn in the SEC, and they watched him play against the Georgia Bulldogs, and he watched Swift, and he said that guy's lightning in a bottle. So it was good to see his positive attitude towards working with Swift.
Yes, it is. I put a post in our group. You probably saw it. Will Kerryon be the odd man out if he's outplayed by other guys like Bo Scarborough, Swift, and Ty Johnson, as well as Jason Huntley? Well, is there any possibility that Kerryon will even make the team?
Nah, Kerryon's going to make the team, man. I think that Kerryon's going to start the season as a starting running back, with Swift probably the number two on the depth chart. And I think that it's going to be where very well I think Swift can get into the starting role, but I don't think that Kerryon is a better running back than the rest of those guys. I think him and Swift are, you know, head above the shoulders above the rest of those guys, but you can't think, I will never think that Huntley and Ty Johnson will beat out Kerryon Johnson for a role on the team. I don't think that's possible. Hey, you know, but that's my opinion. So, but hey, that's tell me something good. Now it's time to play in or out of the actual roster. So, you know how we do it this time, my man, Shawnee J. So I'm going to read off the list. This week group is the wide receivers. So let's go ahead and take a look at the Lions wide receivers. I'm going to read the person's name, give you their pertinent information, and you tell me if you think that they're going to be in or out. So first
before
up,
you do that, how many receivers you think they're gonna keep? Four or five?
I think they're gonna keep about five receivers. Looking at the depth chart, and because you're gonna have a couple wide receivers that's going to play special teams as well, so you're gonna have to keep a couple guys on the roster do play special teams. So I think they're gonna go with about five guys. All right. So first up, wide receiver Geronimo Allison. He is the Lions' big time, free agent pickup in for wide receivers. 6'3", 202. Geronimo Allison, in or out?
I'm on the fence with this guy, 50-50, because there's other guys, you know, there's three guys definitely on the team. You'll get to them. Mm-hmm. So he's only two spots, so I'm 50-50 on Allison. So the jury's out.
All right, jury's out for you. I think he's going to be in. I think the Lions kind of spent a little more cash on him. He has some good size, speed. The camp is going to be a big reason that he makes the camp if he does good in the camp. And catching passes from Matthew Stafford. All right, next up, Danny Amendola. 5'11", 185. I think, you know, I'm going to go first on him. I think he's in. There's no doubt that he's in on the team.
Definitely in, no question. That's one of the guys who's in for sure.
All right. Next guy up, Victor Bolden. 5'8", 175.
Out.
Out, or maybe since they have expanded practice squad, he may be one of those guys.
I'll go for that.
Yeah. Quintez Cephas, rookie, wide receiver.
You know what? I like Quintez. You know, he's one of the guys I think, you know, if they keep five, I think he's in. He's a rookie. They invested a draft pick him. They drafted him for a reason. This is why I think Geronimo might be on the fence. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Quintez makes it for good camp.
Okay. I think Quintez Cephas is in. I think he beats out maybe some of the other guys, some of the guys that's been there, the guys were on the bubble. I think he has he has more talent than those guys that's coming in. I think if he works hard, he'll be able to beat those guys out. No problem. All right. Next guy up is Jeremy Davis, 6'3", 211. Don't have much background on this guy. I think he's maybe one of those guys who may be playing for a special team spot. But for right now, I think he's out.
I think he's out, too. They brought him in as a special team, but he may not make the team.
Yeah, I think that's a very big possibility. All right, Travis Fulham, your guy, coming from last season, second year in the league, 6'2", 215.
He has a lot of talent. 50-50 once again. Of a great camp. He gets good size. I think he makes it. But the Lions might, you know, he might be a victim of circumstance or numbers. So I'm going 50-50 on him.
I think he's still eligible for the practice squad. So I think he'll end up there at the beginning of the season. All right. Raw receiver number one. Kenny Golladay. There's no doubt he's on the team.
And don't waste your time.
Yeah. Now, here's the surprise player from last season. The other Marvin Hall, 5'10", 190.
Yeah, now that's the guy. He's a wild card. He averaged 40 yards of reception last year.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous like that.
He's a deep ball threat. So that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that production you just can't replace. I think he's gonna be in.
So you got Marvin Hall as the number five receiver with Golladay, Quintez Cephas, and Golladay. And along with the next guy, Marvin Jones Jr. There's no doubt that he's going to be in. So right now we have our five. We have Jones, Hall, Cephas, and Amendola on that squad. The other two individuals, they're kind of iffy with Tom Kennedy and Chris Lacy. One or two of those guys. I mean, Tom Kennedy's that guy who came over. He's the lacrosse player. You know, you have expanded practice squads. They may get picked up somewhere else, but I don't think those two guys are going to be on the team.
Exactly. My five, like I said, Kenny Golladay, Marvin Hall, Danny Amendola, mm-hmm. Princess Cephas, and Marvin Hall. Oh, yeah. Marvin Jones and Marvin Hall, excuse me.
Yeah. So we got the two Marvs coming into the season. Hey, in or out, that's what we got. And we'll talk more about Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones coming up later in the program. All right. So next up is our new favorite game. I am going to read off a statement and we're going to play hell yeah or hell no. So if you agree with the statement, you say hell yeah. If you don't think it's going to happen, we get a big hell no. And we'll go through the list right now. All right. So first up, hell yeah or hell no. All right. Let's get it set up here. And first up, the Lions defense will have more sacks this season, a dramatic improvement from last season.
Hell yeah. I mean, they got nowhere to go but up. You know,
very true.
A more aggressive. I think, how many sacks you won over last year?
28.
28. Yeah, they'll do better. Hell yeah. I think they go above 28 sacks. I think this new defensive coordinator is more aggressive than the guy from last year who thought sacks were overrated. Mm-hmm. So definitely a hell yeah.
All right. Next up. The Lions signed one more big free agent before the season begins or before camp starts.
They got the money if they want to. I'm going to say hell yeah. The surprise, you got guys like Clowney, Everett Griffin, the former Viking, other guys
Griffin,
out
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say hell yeah. I think they got the money. I think they will.
I believe they will add one more piece before the camp starts. Next up, Jamal Agnew makes the All-Pro as a returner for the second time in his career.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
All right. You know, I think that the slow start last year kind of, you know, messed with him a little bit with the fumbles and everything like that. But he turned it on, and he has some big returns later on in the season. He's the only returner to have both a punt return for a touchdown and a kickoff return for a touchdown in the NFL last season. All right. So, hell yeah or hell no, the Lions trade Jarrett Davis this season.
That's a head scratcher. I think if the new guys, you know, they brought in, like, you know, from Kansas City and a couple other guys.
Reggie Ragland.
Well. Yes, guys like mm-hmm. that. I'll say hell yeah. Only if the other guys, once again, it's like a carry guy question. If the other guys outplay them and play and make them expendable. That's why I say about carry guy. That's why I say about Jarrett Davis too.
Right. You know, we talked about this before. I mean, if you didn't know, Jarrett Davis transformed his body. I mean, he's looking like an action figure. Kind of like that. I mean, that he used that same trainer that Christian Jones and Zach Zinner used a few years ago to kind of get their bodies into shape. I'm going to say hell no. I think they're going to keep
right.
Him
I like Jarrett. I really like Jarrett though.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens in camp.
All right. Next up, Matthew Stafford will get sacked less than 20 times this season. Hell yeah. So hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yes, he will get sacked less than 20 times. I think, you know, once again, can't get any worse than it last season. Same to the pass rush. So I think the Lions make some improvements on both sides of the lines.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I think that's a hell yeah myself again. I think the Lions will improve on the offensive line. We got the new offensive line coach. I know he just got promoted, but maybe some of the things that the other coach did, like rotate in guards throughout the season, probably will stop this season. We'll have a more concrete offensive line, and we definitely rebuilt again the offensive line this offseason through the draft and free agency. So next up, Tracy Walker will make the Pro Bowl. Hell yeah or hell no?
I would love to say hell yeah. Is it too soon? Well, I'm not going to be on the fence on this one. I'm going to say hell yeah. They, you know, he got the talent, got the skills. I think he will.
I think that, you know, I think he has some help now back there with Harmon coming over from the Patriots. I think he has some help. And I think even with Kurse, I think even though he's a special teamer, I think he can help back there in the secondary as well. Play that kind of filler role, you know, with a rotation back there with the safeties. So I think that, hell yeah, Tracy Walker will make the Pro Bowl this season. All right. The Lions will sweep the Bears and the Vikings this season. Hell yeah or hell no.
Hell yeah, throwing the Packers too. 6-0, baby.
6-0 in the NFC North for Shawnee J. I say that they will sweep the Bears and the Vikings this season. I think they might split with the Packers this year. All right. And the last one, the Fords will sell the team if the Lions have another losing season.
I think I speak for the entire Lion Nation. I say, hell yeah, they've been begging to sell a team for years. And I don't know, Martha passed away. I'm not wishing this on anybody. Mm-hmm. But we think Billy, the son, will take over the team and be a better owner than his parents were?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, you look at the Lions as an organization since the Fords have taken over. I mean, it's one of those things where you have to say, for the fans of the team and for the city of Detroit, it may be time for the Fords to move on from owning the team if they cannot put a winning product on the field. The NFL is set up for parity. I mean, that's why the lower the draft picks go to the teams with a losing record. So the lower your record was, the higher draft pick. And it's just getting to the fact where, you know, what is it going to take for them to get a winner in Detroit? I mean, you've changed personnel, you changed coaches. Something has to change, and the culture in Detroit has to change. And maybe, you know, it may be time to start from the top if we can't get a winning product on the field this season. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, 57 years, the Lions, the Fords owe the Lions. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to be like the Cardinals with a Bidwell family owe the Cardinals forever. And, you know, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it's a winning thing, if you look at like the Rooneys in Pittsburgh, or, you know, the individuals up there at the Giants, where they had, you know, or like even Kraft in New England, you know, they've owned the team for several years, but they've put, you know, winning products on the field. I mean, I know Kraft hasn't owned the team long as the Fords have owned the Lions, but, you know, he's been a long time owner and put a winning product on the field. I mean, we'll see. We'll see this year with Tom Terrific being down there in Tampa, but, you know, we'll see how everything goes. All right. That was hell yeah or hell nah. So now it is time to go into 2 points conversing. All right. This week, we're going to talk about an array of topics, and we're going to touch some outside of the Lions and some, you know, of course, we're going to talk about the Lions as well. Now, first thing first, the NFL sets the training camp dates for 30 teams, which includes the Lions, for the 28th of July at team facilities. I know there had been a rumor going around that the Lions may have had camp in West Virginia, but the NFL says that the teams must have their camp at their facilities starting on July 28th. The only two teams are the two teams that will play the Hall of Fame game, and I believe that's Kansas City, and I forget, my mind's at a loss of who the other team is, but the rest of the league is going to be in camp at the 28th. Now, John Harbaugh had some issues with that, saying that they don't have room at their team facility to hold camp because the Lions hold their camps at Allen Park every year. Every team doesn't do that. Some teams hold their camps off-site so they can fit the 90-man camp roster in the buildings. So what do you think about the NFL holding camp on the 28th at team facilities, Johnny J?
First of all, I'm surprised that only the Lions can facilitate a 90-man training camp roster.
Well, not only the Lions, but the Lions are, I think, you know, one of those teams that can hold it because of the fact that they hold the camp there every year.
I know, but I'm thinking that every NFL team, all what 32 teams, mm-hmm. should be able to fit 90 players at their facilities to practice. You know, so I'm very, that's one surprise. He may be, but still, I think it's a good idea. I know a lot of teams like to hold their training camps for the Lions. Used to hold their camp at Oakland University, what have you.
Right.
If they held on college campuses. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea given the circumstances. If your facilities aren't big enough, you gotta make the best you can. But one thing I don't think will happen, there will be no joint practices like the Lions.
Oh, no.
Will be practicing with the Jets or Patriots, nobody yeah. like that.
The NFL's already ruled that out. They said no joint practices this season. I think with COVID, it's going to make teams have to remake their facilities. I mean, I know with the and I agree with Harbaugh, sometimes, you know, it's going to be a hard interchange because of the fact that if your buildings aren't set up for that, they're set up for your season roster. And with the guidelines for COVID and how the NFL is saying, hey, you must maintain your social distancing while you're at camp. And, you know, so that means, locker spaces, and you think about, you may have to rotate players in and out, you know, stagger them in, you know, make sure everyone's like, say if you have a staggered practice or something like that, or you may have to bring a personnel in, you know, let them get dressed, they go out, cleaning team comes in, sanitizes the whole, you know, locker room right quick, you know, maybe UV lighting, and then the other team comes in, the other part of the team comes in, and then everyone goes out and start practices. And then you make sure you distance people out when they actually get into the actual buildings. It's going to be a difficult situation with the way that the virus has affected this society in general. And, I live in North Carolina, and we're going through a spike down here in North Carolina. You know, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, you know, a lot of places that have reopened, now they're going through COVID-19 spikes where you're going through, you know, areas that's starting to become more infected with the disease than they were previously when they curve flattened, and now it's going back up again. So the NFL is definitely going to have a challenge with COVID-19 and camp. But I think they can do it. I think that they can get it where they can isolate their players. And as long as they're keeping the minimal foot traffic in from outsiders, and do random, you know, testing pretty much every day, is going to be a way that they can start the football on time.
And, you know, we got to say this, just COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Like I said, a lot of things are reopening, and people are begging to reopen, get back to normal life, mm-hmm. and work. It begs the question, what's causing this COVID-19? It's more just a virus from Wuhan, China. I mean, it's over the world. We see like the two people get together, bam, catch COVID-19. Yeah. What's really causing it?
I mean, the scientists haven't really caught as far as like the, you know, how tracing is done and how they can make sure that, you know, people are isolated properly, you know, so the tracing and testing and coming up with some kind of vaccine or, you know, some kind of treatment for it where we can get a hold of this thing. It's still up in the air. I just think that it's one of those things where, to be honest with you, I think something like this was going to happen, and you know, I don't think that everyone was as ready as they thought they were. You know what I'm saying? Like people, you know, something like this, you can plan for it, but you really can't, because it's so unknown, you really can't have a definitive plan to attack it until it actually happens. You know what I'm saying? Like you can plan for it, right. But you know, with all the unknowns, you're not going to be able to really plan, you know, be prepared until something like that happens. But moving on. All right. So let's get back to the Lions. Okay. So PFF says that our two wide receivers, Kenny Galladay and Marvin Jones Jr., will be a top five receiving duo coming into the 2020 season. So they're predicting them to be a top five wide receiver duo in the upcoming year.
I agree with that. I thought they were that, you know, the last couple of years Kenny joined the team and became a elite receiver, you know. I agree with that. I think hopefully it's a 2020 season and Stafford will be back. I mean, we got one of the top five receiving duos in the league, and plus I think we've got a stronger running game. So the Lions offense has the potential to be awesome.
Yeah, it does. I have to agree with that. You know, looking at Galladay really came into his own. I mean, the way he can, you know, high point the ball, you know, his hands, his catch radius is ridiculous. And then Marvin Jones, you know, working his way back in. I saw, you know, I've been looking at his Instagram account, seeing him working out and then working out with the young man Cephas out there in California. If you look at the way Jones is training, if he's healthy, he's ready to get the season started. He built himself one of those training hills at his house, you know, and he, you know, built a sand pit where he runs through. And really, sand is a really excuse me, sand is a good way to toughen your legs. You know, makes those legs muscle strong. So I think that, you know, Marvin Jones is gonna be going back to his, you know, first couple years in Detroit where he was really a standout receiver. All right.
Yes, I would love to see that.
Yeah. So next up, your boy. Now, this happened a few weeks ago, and you know, it's kind of died down a little bit, but we're gonna talk about it right quick. What do you think about Jamal Agnew coming over to the offense? You know, Peter King from the from NFL, I think it's NFL.com or no, excuse me, Pro Football Talk, said when he was in the virtual meeting with the Lions that he saw Jamal Agnew participating in the wide receiver group. So what do you think about Marvin, excuse me, Jamal Agnew joining the wide receivers?
I think it's like in college football, you know, he's not one position. He's listed as an athlete. He can play anywhere on the field. He can play on offense, defense, and special teams. I think the Lions is a good idea. He has great speed. He's a good talent, great talented player. I think the Lions should find a spot for him to use him anywhere on the field, in any situation, be it a punt return, be a receiver, or be a defensive back. I was hoping by now he'll be like that, a Deion Sanders type defensive back, you know, good returner and defensive back. But
I think his size kind of holds him a little handicapped. I think that, you know, I spoke about this before. I welcome him on the offensive side of the ball. I think that his speed is an asset on the offensive side of the ball. So I like the possibility of Jamal Agnew coming over to play wide receiver. All right, switching over to defense for a second. Deshaun Hand will play better this year and he will return to his rookie season form. You know, he's been in the league for a few years. You know, last season was an anomaly. He was hurt. But I think that Deshaun Hand will play better this season than he did his rookie year. So what do you think about Hand coming into the season?
I agree. I really like him, but once again, you gotta stay healthy. He's talented. He was the number one player in high school. I know it has nothing to do with now, but he was the number one rated player coming out of high school for a reason. He can have a great career at Alabama, but at least show why he was the number one player and coming out of high school with his rookie year with the Lions. If he stays healthy, he's gonna be a force.
Right. I think that, you know, and he has that flexibility like that Patricia wants, where he can play defensive tackle and defensive end, where he has that size and speed to play both. So I think that's one of the reasons why that the Lions really didn't go out and sign another defensive tackle, where they already had they feel they already had a guy on the roster that was good enough to play and good enough to start. You know, and that's one of the reasons they probably let A'shaun Robinson walk. I
Right.
mean, you know, so all right. So last thing we're gonna finish up with on 2 points conversion this week. Let's talk about the offensive guards. All right, so we're going to look at the offensive guards. I'm going to read off them, and then what we're going to do, Shauna J, you're going to tell me who your starting two is and why, and I'm going to tell you who my two starting guys are and why at offensive guard, all right? So I'm going to read the names off, and then at the end, we're going to go and say who do we think is going to start for the team. So we have Caleb Benock, and he is a 6'5", 305 guard, 25 years of age. Then we have Bo Benswasser, big guy, 6'6", 324 years old. Joe Dahl, 6'4", 310. Josh Garnett, and that's the guy we got in free agency coming over from the San Francisco 49ers, former first round pick, 6'5", 305. And then we got the veteran, Kenny Wiggins, 6'6", 315. And then we have the two rookies. We got Jonah Jackson coming in and Logan Stenberg. So, with your head and not your heart, who do you think is going to be the two starting offensive guards for the Lions this season?
I said this before. I'm going to stick with it until I'm proven wrong. Uh-huh. And I got to go with my boy Bo at right guard. Once again, the number one run blocker come out of college football. Uh-huh. A shocker he wasn't even drafted. And I really like what I was seeing read about this year's rookie, not Jonah Jackson, but the other one, Logan Stenberg, big, nasty, bad attitude, want to try to hurt somebody out there. I think those will be my two starting guards, two young, hungry, big guys will start a guard for the Lions.
All right, so that's who you got. All right, so myself, I'm going with Joe Dahl, and I'm going with the Buckeye, Jonah Jackson. I think that Joe Dahl has really improved. I think Kenny Wiggins is more of a backup offensive guard. And I like Jackson just because of the fact that I just think he's a nasty mauler himself. And I think he'll team well on the offensive line with his Buckeye running mate, Tyler Decker. So those are my two guys. I think that Dahl has really worked his way into the starting lineup. And I think that Jackson has potential to be an all-pro offensive guard. So,
but we both have a rookie starting in one of the guard spot.
There we go. Hey, it's just, you know, and I think maybe Stenberg could work his way into the starting lineup. I'm not saying that neither one of those guys, the guys that we didn't mention, aren't capable of starting aren't talented. But I just think of those two guys, to me, are standout talents. That is just my opinion. So, all right. So that's what we have in 2 points conversing this week. Now it is time for us to go ahead and get on out of here. So, Shawnee J, tell the people how they can find you on social media.
You can find me on Facebook. My name is Sean Jennings. I'm the head administrator of Detroit Lions Jewish Fan Group. I love the Azure. We get requests every day.
All right. So you can find myself, my personal for my Instagram and my Twitter account at Curtis Steele 14 at both of those. CURTISSTELE 14. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Die Hard Den Pod C1. You can definitely follow the show on Instagram at die_hard_den_podcast. Thank you for watching the show. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel so you can get the instant notifications when you have new content. If you're watching on Facebook or you're listening to the show on your favorite streaming platforms, hit the like, subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, so you know you're gonna get some new content, and we enjoy bringing you our Lions content from our point of view right here at the Die Hard Den podcast. So thank you for watching, or thank you for listening to the show. Any parting shots, my man, Shawnee J?
Nope. just want to say, I hope, you know, we lick this COVID-19 thing so there'll be football this year. I mentioned what happened in college with some Bama players and Houston players. I hope that doesn't, you know, affect the season or get the season canceled.
All right. And again, I want to thank everyone who has watched or listened to our previous podcast, A Time for Change. It was a tough conversation that needed to be had. And I thank those gentlemen again for coming over and having that conversation with us. Love one another. And please be safe out there. COVID-19 is not over. It's not taking a halftime. You still need to practice social distancing, wear a mask, wear gloves, and just keep yourself safe, everyone. And again, we thank you for listening to us right here on the Die Hard Den podcast. And as always, this is Kurt Steele, and we are out.